alle kijkers van Out of Power, zeer goedemorgen. Zometeen de dienst in de Crystal Cathedral en daar spreekt Phil Driscoll. Hij heeft een prachtig thema en dat is een vraag die heel veel mensen bezighoudt. Heeft Jezus nou echt bestaan? Was het een historische figuur? Kun je bewijzen dat hij er was? Onze jaartelling begint met de geboorte van Christus. En hij noemt 6 argumenten waarom Jezus een historische figuur is en wat hij vandaag aan de dag voor mensen kan betekenen. Een boeiende preek. En bij Out of Power Nederland hebben we zo aan het begin van het nieuwe jaar dominee Wiglet Tamboer, predikant van een van de snelst groeiende kerken van Nederland. En zijn thema is Geef de kerk een kans. En verder veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral, onder andere van Bridget Bentley. Ik wens iedereen een hele goede dienst toe.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
Welcome to this place. This is a place of creativity. People come here, and God is here, and He is here in the minds and in the hearts of all these people. So there's an energy being radiated, and ideas are going to come to your mind. Be open, be brave, step on the edge. So thank you, Lord. We're in a very unusual place where there is a Holy Spirit of the God Himself. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Be seated. The scripture lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 43. Hear the word of God. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, and they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God. You have been honored, and I have loved you. Before me there was no God. Even I am the Lord. I am the Lord, your Holy One, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Behold, I will do a new thing. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hear the word of the Lord. My guest today is someone I haven't met until now, and her name is Ginny Owens. Her journey to success in the music ministry is not a typical account. Her dream for her life was to be a high school choir director, but schools would not hire her when they realized she was blind. God's dream for Ginny's life was far greater. She has sold over 1 million albums in her career, performed thousands of concerts, even performed at the White House. She's an inspiration to everyone. She also has a nonprofit organization called Fingerprint Initiative that champions humanitarian relief around the world. She has a new CD out called Say Amen. Welcome with me, Ginny Owens. Hi.
Hi.
Well, they may not see, but they're beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Your two blue eyes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Don't thank me. I had nothing to do with it. But
well, thank you for noticing.
Well, you were not born blind.
No, I had minimal sight until about the age of 2.5, 3. And then I lost the little bit of sight that I had due to a hereditary condition. But I haven't missed it, really.
Do you have any memories of the first 2 years of your life?
Very few. I don't remember seeing much. I remember my family, and I remember, you know, certain little things that we did here and there and time that we spent together. But I don't remember too much about seeing the world and seeing color, and which I guess is good because then I don't feel like I missed out on too much.
Tell me, how have you handled this sightless condition so positively?
Well, you know, I think it all comes back to the fact that anytime we have a challenge in our lives, it can either make us very frustrated and very angry, or it can point our hearts and our hopes toward heaven. And it can make us have deeper faith and have deeper strength of character, too. And so for me, I think the Lord has really challenged me to not only believe in my eternal future with Him, but to believe that if I am unable to see, that there is a purpose even in that, and that He doesn't place any of us on this planet for no purpose. And therefore, if I am here, and if I am here without being able to see, then He has a wonderful and distinct, beautiful plan for my life. And that's what gives me hope every day.
Wow. So your faith is very conspicuous, Judy. How did you get this faith? As a child?
I did. I came to faith at a very young age. I remember my mom telling me, even in some very sad days, you know, when you're a kid and you have a disability, or, well, really, when you're a kid, life can be challenging because kids can be mean, but especially if you have something that sets you apart and makes you different. It can be very, very lonely. And I remember that my mom told me one time, she said, you know, Ginny, there are going to be days when Jesus is not only your best friend, but He's also your only friend. And that's what you have to remember. And so even from, you know, elementary school age, I remember learning that. I live in that hope, and I live in the faith that He always has bigger things planned for us than we could ever imagine, and He always dreams so much more for us than we could ever dream for ourselves.
Tell us about your Fingerprint Initiative.
Well, the Fingerprint Initiative is an organization that we started a few years ago to not only inspire our friends and fans to give to local ministries. So when we go in to do concerts at various places, we will either work with a nonprofit, a charity in that or in that city, like maybe by doing a food drive, or maybe I go in and speak with school children, or work with special needs kids. Just anything that we can do to serve, and anything that we can do to invite that community to serve in its own backyard. And then the other thing that we do is we do kind of big projects once every couple years, like we built a Habitat for Humanity house, and we work with other organizations like International Justice Mission. So all kinds of different things.
You're a Christian, and it shows. How did you come by this faith? Through your mother and father?
I did. My grandfather was a pastor, and my dad was a pastor, and my mom told me Bible stories probably from before I was born. So I was a very young child, maybe about 3 or 4, when I came to faith.
Wow. Now, tell us about your new CD.
Well, I have a new CD called Say Amen. A lot of it is hymns and spirituals from the past several hundred years of history, and just beautiful pieces of poetry that many of which I reset to new music, but poetry of faith that I have come to just love and appreciate so much in my journey. And then also some new songs. The title track, Say Amen, was inspired by a young lady that was going through cancer, facing terminal cancer, and she and I wrote the song Say Amen about 5 months before she passed away. And then that song became even more significant the next year as my mom faced cancer. And so it was a song that she says now really has blessed her and given her hope.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset, no dawning, only eternal life forevermore. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for me. Ginny Owens singing for us now. The opening line that she will be singing is, "My life flows in endless song above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet and distant hymn that hails a new creation." Sing for us, Ginny. Thank you.
Jeannie Owens, een vrouw die God ziet in haar leven, ook al kan ze niet zien. Dat is een nadenkertje. Vanmorgen in Hour of Power, dominee Wichelen Tambour. Hij is predikant van een van de snelst groeiende gemeenten in Nederland. En elke zondag, ook straks, komen er duizenden jongeren en ouderen naar zijn gemeente. Zijn leven begon met een droom, namelijk een gemeente te bouwen ergens in Nederland waar de kerk nog niet zo vaste voet aan de grond had. En een van zijn inspiratoren was dominee Schorre. Goedemorgen, Wichelen.
Goedemorgen, Jan.
Is dat... Ja.
Mag, ja, het is 10 januari. Ik wil het toch nog even zeggen. De beste wensen, ja.
Ik kan vandaag nog, hè?
Zegen.
Ja, dank je. Ja. Jij ook.
Dank je.
Wat is je wens voor Hour of Power? Want bij de nieuwjaarswensen hoort ook een wens.
De wens voor Hour of Power? Nou, die heb ik zeker. En dat is niet zozeer alleen mijn wens, maar ik denk ook van dokter Schuller zelf. En die wens is dat... Mogelijk door Hour of Power, het kijken naar televisie, mensen ook weer de weg terugvinden naar de kerk. En het is het begin van een nieuw jaar. Ik denk dat we allemaal nieuwe kansen willen benutten. Ik moet ook heel eerlijk zeggen dat de kerk ook wel kansen heeft laten liggen als het gaat om het bereiken en vasthouden van mensen. Dus ik zou bijna zeggen, geef de kerk een kans. En ik hoop dat de kerk zelf ook die kansen benut. Want ik denk dat het een prachtige samenwerking is tussen televisie en... De kerk, zoals die al jaren bestaat, maar helaas wel eens wat mist als het gaat om dynamiek, als het gaat om het persoonlijk aanspreken van mensen. En wat dat betreft zou ik zeggen, the best of both worlds. Kijk, heerlijk om 8 uur naar televisie, naar Hour of Power. Dan ben je helemaal opgepept om naar de kerk te komen om 10 uur. En dan heb je een geweldige zondag, zou ik zeggen.
Waarom zou je na het kijken van de kerkdienst van Hour of Power op je fiets of in je auto stappen om naar een echte kerk te gaan?
Nou ja, je hebt ook behoefte aan menselijk contact. Een mens is een sociaal wezen. En televisie brengt mensen bij elkaar, maar je wil er altijd over praten daarna. Ja. Als je een goed programma hebt gezien, volgende dag op je werk, heb jij dat gezien. Je wil erover praten. Mensen zoeken mensen. Het geloof is toch ook niet alleen die verticale relatie met God, maar ook horizontaal met mensen. En ik denk mensen hebben behoefte om elkaar te ontmoeten. Erover te praten, met elkaar te bidden, voor elkaar te bidden. Je... nederlagen te delen, maar ook je overwinningen, je pijn, je moeite, maar ook alle dingen die goed en mooi zijn in het leven.
Wat spreek je aan in wat dominee Schuller wil uitdragen?
Ik denk dat hij 2 dingen gedaan heeft die mij zeer aanspreken. 1, psychologie en theologie, wat dichter bij elkaar brengen. En het andere is om echt innovatief te werken. Ik vind dat je als predikant ook ondernemer bent. En ik zou bijna zeggen, het christelijk geloof en de christelijke kerk is de mooiste onderneming, koninkrijk van God, om je daarvoor in te zetten. Maar het is ook goed om dat met een ondernemersgeest te doen.
Ook de grootste onderneming ter wereld, hè?
Ook de grootste en de langste.
Als je even bekijkt met 1,6 miljoen miljard klanten.
Ja, klanten, maar ze zijn direct zelf ook degene die de kerk inhoud en vorm geven. Ja. Dus de kerk heeft goede en lange papieren. Waarom maar hij heeft ook kans laten liggen. Dat wil ik toch echt ook in dit programma zeggen. En ik hoop dat we met elkaar weer nieuwe kansen gaan aangrijpen.
Wat heel veel kijkers van Hour of Power, denken is dat de kerk, daar ga je 1 keer naartoe op zondagmorgen voor een dienst. Of misschien zondagavond ook erbij. En dan houdt het op. Maar als ik nou naar de Christelijke Kathedraal kijk, daar is de hele dag, 7 dagen per week, is daar actie. Muziekklassen voor jonge mensen, zangkoren, kinderkoren. Opvang van jonge moeders die geen abortus willen laten plegen. Werk onder gevangenen. Je kunt het zo gek niet bedenken. Dus kerk is een ontmoetingsplaats. Is dat bij jou ook?
Absoluut, ja. Kerk is 7 dagen per week, 24 uur per dag. Bij ons in de Meerkerk zeggen we tegenwoordig... het is niet meer dat wij vacatures hebben en wij hebben jou nodig. Nee, jij hebt de kerk nodig. Er is niets mooiers dan dat je voelt in je leven dat je betekenis hebt. En de kerk heeft zoveel betekenis en ook betekenis te geven aan mensen. En dat niet alleen in het overdragen van de boodschap, maar samen bezig te zijn.
Noem eens 10 dingen die je doet.
Nou, ik zal je iets vertellen over ons jubileum. Hè. We staan 25 jaar, je noemde het al. En dit hele jubileumjaar hebben we een 25-tal projecten. We hebben onlangs een project gehad waar we bewoners van een epilepsiecentrum bij ons in de buurt uitgenodigd hebben en gezegd, wat doen jullie graag? En ze zeiden, wij eten graag en we zingen graag. Toen hebben wij gezegd, wij als Meerkerk in Hoofddorp willen ons gebouw openstellen. We hebben een keuken, we willen voor jullie koken. We willen muziek met elkaar maken. Jullie krijgen de muziek mee naar huis op een cd. Dus ze hadden eigenlijk een eigen opname. Geweldig. En dan zou je zeggen, nou, dat doe je voor anderen. We hebben 1 oproep gedaan En er zijn 60 vrijwilligers gekomen, hebben vrije dagen genomen en waren daar. En zij hebben ook de dag van hun leven gehad, want Jezus zegt het al. Het is zaliger, je bent gelukkiger wanneer je geeft dan wanneer je ontvangt. En ik denk wanneer je samen aan de slag mag gaan om iets te geven van jezelf, iets te geven van de kerk, iets te geven van het evangelie, dan word je zelf alleen maar rijker. Wij zeggen altijd van 0 tot 100, dat hele spectrum van mannen en vrouwen, van jongens en meisjes die iets doen. En wij bestaan nu 25 jaar en nog nooit als tevoren voel ik de opdracht dat we nu aan de volgende generatie de fakkel doorgeven. Dat zij ook weer op hun eigen manier het evangelie mogen ontdekken, vorm en inhoud mogen geven en ook mogen delen met anderen.
Ja, wat mij boeit is inderdaad dat die fakkel moet worden overgedragen. Ik was een paar maanden geleden in Israël, Jordanië met een heleboel Hour of Power kijkers. En daar was Robbie Schuller, dus de kleinzoon van Thomas Schuller ook. En die sprak fantastisch, weet je wel. Dan denk ik, nou, geweldig. Die zou zo een waardige opvolger kunnen zijn in de Christelijke Cathedral. Jij zoekt daar ook naar jonge mensen die de fakkel kunnen overnemen.
Ja, ik denk dat het een opdracht is. Ja. Dat we niet te lang moeten vasthouden, maar hen al mogelijkheden geven om zich te ontwikkelen.
Ja. Ik heb laten vertellen dat er een jubileumboek is uitgegeven, dat daarin verhalen staan van mensen die toevallig keken naar Hour of Power en nu toevallig bij jou in de kerk komen. Ja. En ook lid zijn geworden.
Ja, nee, dat zijn prachtige verhalen. En dat jubileumboek wat we hebben uitgegeven heet Allemaal Anders. En de subtitel is Hoe God in mensenlevens werkt. En dan merk je dat God elke keer andere wegen gebruikt om mensen tot zichzelf te trekken. En een van die wegen is inderdaad Hour of Power. Ik heb het boek meegenomen. En ons thema rond het jubileum was danken, vieren, delen. En bij mijn 25-jarige jubileum denk je, ja, hoe kunnen wij nu delen? En je zou geneigd zijn om een boek van de geschiedenis van de kerk. De eerste paal voor dat gebouw, die commissie. Maar we zeiden, nee, de kerk is mensen. En wat zou het niet mooi zijn als 25 mensen hun levensverhaal delen van wie Jezus Christus voor hen is. En dat is soms een hele lange weg geweest om dat te ontdekken. En we kwamen twee verhalen tegen van mensen, hier zijn ze, Kees en Hannie Segaar. Kees was 61, was nog nooit in een kerk geweest. En hij keek naar Hour of Power. En het verhaal staat hier beschreven, hoe hij uiteindelijk ook in de kerk. Ja, het was de uitzending waar ik iets mocht vertellen rond Pasen.
Of dat moest dat
zijn. Dat over de graankorrel.
Ja, ja, de graankorrel, ja.
Ja. Ja. En een ander verhaal is André van Brussel. Dat is nog uit de tijd dat Hour of Power nog niet op internet was. En er een heel circuit was van videobanden. Hè. Mensen namen de programma's op en die werden dan gedeeld in de familie. En André zocht eigenlijk een reden om niet naar de kerk te gaan. En hij keek graag naar Hour of Power. En zijn vrouw ging elke zondag naar de kerk. En op een gegeven moment zei zijn vrouw, wil je niet mee? En zegt, nee, ik kan niet, want er zijn mensen die moeten de opname van Hour of Power hebben. Ik moet die mensen niet teleurstellen. Dus hij gebruikte Hour of Power als een reden om niet naar de kerk te gaan. Ja. Maar op een gegeven moment kon hij toch niet een en ander weerstaan en is gekomen.
Ik heb onder wel even gauw zitten spieken, als je het niet erg vindt. Kees en Hannie, wat een verhaal zeggen ook. Kun je zorgen dat ze in Hour of Power terechtkomen?
Ja, ik denk, het zijn heel bescheiden mensen, maar ze wilden hier dan meewerken. Ik weet zeker dat ze ook graag hun verhaal doen in Hour of Power.
Wat leuk. Mooi.
Nou, maar mag ik het jou eens geven, Jan, als ons jubileum cadeau. Ja. Allemaal anders, hoe God in mensenlevens werkt. Uitgave van de Meerkerk in eigen beheer gedaan. En ik bied hem je graag aan.
Nou, dank je wel.
Is de eerste. Want ik weet zeker dat jij weer ook een boek gaat aanbieden.
Nou, ik was het niet van plan. Ja, 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 ja. Erg fijn dat je hier was. Geef de kerk een kans. Vind ik een prachtige uitspraak. En ik hoop dat veel kijkers dat ook zullen doen. En een kerk zullen vinden waar ze zich thuis voelen en opgenomen worden. Dominee Maxwell, collega van je. Ja. Ik ken hem allemaal. De man die zo dynamisch spreekt in de Christelijke Cathedral. Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? Had je hem al of nog niet?
Nee, ik heb hem nog niet.
Oké, nee, dan krijg je hem toch echt. Als je hem had, dan kreeg je hem niet. Ja. Oké. Heel fijn dat je er was.
Dank.
Oké.
Ja, het was een grote vreugde hier weer te zijn.
Wederzijds. En ook bedankt voor je bemoedigingen, want je staat vierkant achter Hour of Power en dat waarderen we. En wij gaan terug naar de Christelijke Cathedral. Niet voordat ik genoemd heb dat je meer informatie kunt lezen over de kerk van dominee Tamboer. www.meerkerk.nl. En wij gaan naar Bridget Brantley. En zij zingt in de Christelijke Cathedral dat je een keuze moet maken. Een keuze om te geloven. Choose to believe. En geef de kerk een kans. Thank you.
you called me to fulfill my destiny. Through my doubts and fears, you dried my tears and said, child, just trust in me. And through it all, I'll help you be what you speak about, what you sing about, when you tell the world of me. Just believe I'm a God who is bigger than your circumstance. Just believe I'm a God who will do just what I said. Just believe, even when you cannot see. But you know me, just choose to believe. Oh, he's a God who brings the sun up in the morning, yeah. And with his mighty hand, he keeps the land back from. Souls he fed, and he brought three boys out of the fiery furnace. The king was amazed, and he wondered, how could this be? Because they believed in God, who was bigger than their circumstances.
A real treat this morning, because the pastor bringing our message is a man. His name is Mark Driscoll, goes by Pastor Mark. If you go to his website, over a million people download his messages over a year. He's that amazing, and he really knows how to deliver a message. But he started out small, like we did. We started out a small little church in a drive-in theater, and Mark started out in October 1996 with his wife, who was his high school sweetheart, Grace, right? And they started out a small little Bible study in their home. They now have over 6,000 in their church. An amazing, amazing man. Please welcome Mark Driscoll. Thank you, Mark, for being here.
Where are you coming from?
I was born in 1970 in Grand Forks, North Dakota. My parents were Irish Catholic by background. They moved out to Seattle when I was a little boy. I didn't know Jesus until I was 19. I got saved in college when I was 19 years of age and started preaching and teaching right after
that. What happened?
I was reading the Bible and learned about Jesus, of all things.
Wonderful.
And got excited about Jesus and have been excited ever since.
Fantastic. Now, Did you go to seminary to learn to be a preacher?
Yeah, I started a church with my wife, Grace. I married my high school sweetheart, and we started a little Bible study in Seattle. It's one of the least church cities in America. Lots of people became Christians, and last year I finished up my degree after being a pastor for 10 years. Figure I may as well go back to school, so I finished it up recently.
But you still have the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of evangelism. How did you go through a theological seminary without losing your faith?
Yeah, the good thing was I had a great mentor who just helped me learn the Bible and love me, so I didn't technically go to class a lot.
I see.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very good. Now, your church is how many members, or don't you have members?
We do have membership. It's grown to be upwards of 10,000 people a week. The average age is in their 20s, and the majority are single, so it's a very young church, lots of new Christians.
How many services?
20-something.
Really?
Yeah, we do video as well. I don't know. I wish I knew. I know I should know, but I don't. I preach, and then things happen, and it's wonderful.
How long do you preach?
I preach for an hour plus.
You do?
A sermon, yeah. And I yell a lot, and I get excited.
Do you?
Yeah. And it's working, so praise God. Yeah.
Well, and your family?
I have 5 children, 3 boys, 2 girls. Very happy to be a dad.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you for letting me.
God loves you, so do I.
I appreciate that. Thank you, God. Very excited to be with you. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ. Many have not heard of him. Some who have become so familiar with him that perhaps they have ceased to be amazed by him. So I'm going, with all the enthusiasm I can muster, tell you about this God-man, Jesus Christ. His name, Jesus, actually tells us something of his nature. It means God is my Savior. Christ means the anointed one of God. So Jesus Christ is the one whom God anointed to be our Savior. He was born roughly 2,000 years ago in very humble circumstances to a poor family where his dad was a construction worker named Joseph, just like my dad named Joseph was also a construction worker. His mom, when she birthed him, was a teenage young woman. He grew up in humble circumstances. He never traveled more than a few hundred miles from his home, never wrote a book, never held a political office, never ran a company, yet he is the most influential person in the history of the world. No one comes close to the impact that this man, Jesus Christ, has made. In his wake, more songs have been sung to him, more paintings painted of him, more books written about him than anyone who has lived in the history of the world. There are no less than 17,000 books that have been written about this man, Jesus Christ. Our two major holidays are about his birth at Christmas, his resurrection at Easter. Our entire calendar is based on this man into B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And the question I want to answer for you is, who is this man? Is he truly the only God? And Jesus made 7 statements that I am excited to share with you. These statements are earth-shattering, history-altering, and life-changing. No one in the history of the world has said the things that Jesus said. And so many have had so much to say about Jesus, I felt it was appropriate to just let him speak for himself. Here is what Jesus says. Number one, he says repeatedly that he came down from heaven. This is an unprecedented and unparalleled claim. Occasionally, there'll be a religious leader who tells us they got to peek into heaven. Muhammad claims that, the founder of Islam, that he got to peek into heaven on one occasion. Sometimes people will tell you that they had a near-death experience where they got to have a brief snapshot of God's heavenly glory. Jesus says something more extraordinary than that, that he pre-existed eternally as God and that he has come down into human history on a rescue mission of love. He says this repeatedly in the 6th chapter of John's gospel alone. He says on multiple occasions, I have come down from heaven. There has been no religious leader who has ever made that claim. Number two, Jesus said that he alone is God. Hear his words for yourself. In John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33, Jesus says it this way, I and the Father are one. He is claiming to be equal with God the Father. They picked up stones to stone him, and Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? And they answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. This claim of Jesus is unprecedented and unparalleled. No other major religious leader in the history of the world has said that they were God. Jesus says emphatically, clearly, repeatedly that he's God, that he is God. In fact, the most humble among us are keenly aware of how truly not God-like we are, how in need of God we are. And Jesus says that he, in fact, is God. Jesus performed miracles. He healed those who were sick. He fed those who were hungry. He loved those who were hurting. He didn't get into trouble for those actions. What got him in trouble was this claim to be God. In fact, New York Judge Gaynor says it this way, it is plain from each of the gospel narratives that the alleged crime for which Jesus was tried and convicted was blasphemy, a man claiming to be God. That's why Jesus was so heavily and mightily and repeatedly opposed. Number three, Jesus said that his miracles proved he was God. In John 10 as well, verses 36 through 39, Jesus says, why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said, I am God's son. Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Jesus says, if you are stumbling over and struggling with my words, that I am God come down from heaven, then examine my deeds. Look at my life. See me walk on water. See me resurrect those who are dead. See me take a little boy's lunch and multiply it to feed the multitudes. See me calm the storm as the Creator of the universe demonstrating unprecedented, unparalleled spiritual authority and power. Jesus said things that no one has ever said. Jesus did things that no one has ever done. In addition, his fourth claim is this. He claims that he is without sin. He claims that he is without sin. One example is in John 8:46. Which of you convicts me of sin? He says this openly and publicly. Jesus says, I am without sin. Those of us who are considered to be the most holy are aware of our faults, our flaws, and our failures. And Jesus says, I have none of those. He is either the most boastful, arrogant man who has ever lived, or the God-man as he says he is. This claim is absolutely astonishing. He is without sin. When you consider that sin includes our thoughts, that God knows our thoughts, our words, God hears our words, our deeds, God sees our life. It includes omission, where we don't do the things we are supposed to do, and commission, where we do the things we're not supposed to do. Every one of us lives with pains of regret and remorse. There are things we have said and done or failed to say and do that we have remorse and regret for. And Jesus says, I have no remorse, I have no regret, because I have no fault, I have no flaw, and I have no failure. Only God could say something of that magnitude. And if he is not God, that is a horrendous claim to make. Number five, Jesus said he could forgive our sin. In Mark chapter 2, verse 5, he looks at someone and says, quote, your sins are forgiven. A debate then erupted and ensued. People were wondering, how in the world could this man forgive sin? God alone, they said, forgives sin. And they were right. In Psalm 51:4, someone who has sinned grievously, perhaps like you, they cry out to God in prayer saying, God, against you only have I sinned. That's true. Our failures, our faults, and our flaws, they're against God. And so God needs to forgive us. God needs to love us. God needs to pursue us. God needs to embrace us. God needs to cleanse us. God needs to renew us. God needs to restore us. And Jesus says, that's what I do. That's what I do. I forgive. I forgive. This is absolutely unimaginable. That we don't need to pay God back. That we don't need to earn God's love. We don't need to try harder and do better. We need Jesus. That's what we need. And Jesus is going to, shortly after saying this, go to the cross where he's going to die in our place for our sins so that all of our sins, past, present, and future, thought, word, deed, omission, commission, could all be forgiven, that we could become new people with new lives and new hopes and new dreams and new passions and new pleasures and new purposes for our whole life. For our whole life. We all need this love and forgiveness. And Jesus says, as God, I can provide that. Number six, Jesus said he was the only way to heaven. In John 14:6, he makes this claim, I am the way, the truth, the life, singular and exclusive. No one comes to the Father but by me. What Jesus does for us is clarifies and simplifies how to be reconciled to God through him. There's one mediator between us and God, and that's this man, Christ Jesus. All we need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus. That if we want to have sins forgiven, it's in Jesus. If we want to have eternal life, it's with Jesus. If we want to know how to live, it is like Jesus. And Jesus says, all that we need is him. He is the way, the truth, the life. There is no necessity to look for hope and salvation and newness of life anywhere other than in this man, Jesus Christ. This amazing claim. Some will tell you that they can point you on the path to God's glory. Jesus says, I am that path. Follow me. Walk with me. Trust in me. And additionally, number seven, Jesus said he would rise from death. All of his other truth claims hinge upon this truth claim. He says it this way in Mark 10, 33 through 34. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And here's the key. And after 3 days, he will rise. Under intense public scrutiny and criticism, Jesus said, I know the future. I will be arrested. I will be beaten. I will be broken and murdered and buried. And I will be back. In triumph. In triumph. Over death. Over the grave. Over sin and the curse and all of its effects. I will be the liberator. I will be the hero. I will be the redeemer. I will be the savior. I will conquer death. Paul says that death is our great enemy. That we will all die. Some of you are on the precipice of the end of your life, wondering what awaits you on the other side. What awaits you on the other side is Jesus, who has conquered death and come back to tell us he did die and he did rise. He did so on a Sunday. That's why every Sunday a few billion people on the earth gather to remember Jesus, not as a dead example, but as a living Savior, as the one who hears our prayers, who forgives our sins, who changes our lives, who guarantees our eternity, and who conquers our death. And Jesus has done all of this. And he has done it in love, and he has done it in grace, and he has done it in mercy, and he's done it for us. And so I would close with the final question from Jesus, the most important man in the history of the world, the God-man, Jesus Christ, asks this, the most important question for your life. Matthew 16:15, Jesus says to those who are considering him, as I would pray that you would consider him, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That is Jesus asking you, asking me, asking us, who do you say that I am? Would you say today, Jesus is God? come down from heaven, proving himself to be God through his miracles, living a life without any sin, the life I should have lived, forgiving my sin through his death, burial, and resurrection, that I might be reconciled to God, experience new life today that continues forever. Is that what you would say? That's what I pray, that in the depths of your heart, with all sincerity, you would say, Jesus, I say that you are God and Savior and friend. Let me pray for you. Father God, I do ask that the Holy Spirit would open the hearts and the minds of those who would hear about Jesus. Some, Father, have never heard about Jesus. I pray that this news would be good news for them, that God has come to seek and to save and to love and to heal and to serve. God, for those who have heard it many times, I pray it would not just be information, but transformation. I pray, Lord God, that today you would give us the Spirit to believe freshly in the person and work of Jesus, to share in his resurrection life, to by grace be his people with joy and purpose and passion and pleasure and enthusiasm and hope and joy that never ends. And Lord God, for those who have heard this but never responded, they know a lot about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Holy Spirit, I am humbly asking that you would allow them to meet Jesus right now. We ask this, Lord Jesus, in your good name. Amen.
Should I?
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset, no dawning, only eternal light and life forevermore. Amen.
Zo, aan het begin van het nieuwe jaar, we hoorden het net van dominee Tamboer, zit je vol met goede voornemens. En laat een van die goede voornemens zijn, als u nog geen donateur bent van Hour of Power, om dat te overwegen. En als het niet kan, door financiële omstandigheden of anderszins, we vinden het ongelooflijk fijn dat u kijkt. En we vinden het fijn dat anderen het mogelijk maken dat u kunt kijken. Volgende week weer een boeiende uitzending, althans, dat hopen we. Dominee Tony Campolo zal spreken over geloven is een feest. En ik hoop als gast ontvangen Ino Pruinboom. Hij zat 7e keer in de gevangenis. Toen hij als jongen verslaafd raakte, pleegde hij een ongelooflijk aantal inbraken. Zijn ouders zijn verslaafd. Kortom, een verhaal dat ongelooflijk is. Maar hij zit hier, hopelijk volgende week, op de bank bij Hour of Power. En dat zegt alles. Graag tot volgende week. Who was bigger than